My brother Mike had me all set up to sit at that table. And I just told him, man, I'd bust if I had to sit down. I just kind of have to be standing up. And I'm going to do it a little bit different than Brother Jack. We every minister is a little bit different in the way that they do things. And he told me he have to sit down. If he didn't, he'd be all over. Well, I cannot sit down. But I appreciate him. And we're just going to be here to just try to be a blessing to us tonight and maybe next Wednesday. And y'all pray for them. Pray for them on their trip. Pray that the Lord bless them and bless their efforts. But we're just going to sing a song. We're going to get right in it. And we're not going to be with you long. Y'all just help me sing this little song. In your presence, that's where I belong. In your presence, oh Lord, my God. In your presence, that's where I am strong. Touch by your grace in the cleft of the rock. Oh, in your presence, oh God. Oh, in your presence, that's where I belong. Try that one more time. Oh, in your presence, that's where I belong. Oh, in your presence, oh Lord, my way, in your presence, that's where I hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just come to give you thanks and praise tonight. Lord, in your presence, that's where we belong, Lord. We just thank you for bringing us thus far through the week, Lord Jesus, and being with us and taking care of us and watching over us in our right minds, Father. And Lord, we just thank you. We praise you, Father. We pray and ask that you would just bless the service tonight, Lord, anoint our thoughts, Lord. Take control, Father God, and help us to just express Jesus Christ, Lord God, by the word, Father. And we ask also that you just bless Brother Jack and his sons that travel abroad, Father God, that you just be with them and protect them, Lord, and just give them mercies, Lord, in those different places that they'll be, Father God. And Lord, may they be just a living expression of Jesus Christ, Father God. And we just give you the praise, the glory, and honor for it being done. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Let's just get our Bibles out tonight. It's good to see everybody. It's good to see Mother Tillman. Amen. Sister Bryce, it's good to see everybody out tonight. We're going to look in a couple of places in the scripts. You want to start out with Matthew chapter 20. And we'll read St. John 13. Everybody have it? Say amen. Okay, Matthew 21, start at the 25th verse. It says, "But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the prince of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And let us look in the book of St. John, chapter 13. St. John 13, and we want to start start at the first verse. It says, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and he went to God, he raises from supper and laid aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said unto him, He that is washed need not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are all clean, but not all. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. I want to just briefly tonight, a little thought that we used at church, and just trying to express something. Now, I'm not really going to talk on communion tonight, but it's the scripture. The Brother Branham, he was talking from a little message, and I just want to use as a thought images of Christ, and as a little context, his manner of life. And, you know, we know and understand, and I'm quite sure you've been taught this, that when it comes down to foot washing and communion, those are two things out of the three things that as ordinance been left for the church. Y'all heard that before? Right? And one of the things that we know that it's been so different, and you know, when you raise up in different places and different churches and different things, just say preceding the message of the hour, you know, it just seemed like any and everybody took communion, right? And you didn't really have to have a life or anything behind it. But one of the things we realize, communion is just for the believer. Is that right? Amen. For those that are actually Christian. And, you know, when you look at St. John 13, basically, in a nutshell, we just want to deal with the character of Jesus Christ being expressed, his manner of life. But I want to just kind of go through some different things that we see here, because when you look at foot washing and just, you know, especially when it comes down to the Oriental times way back in the day when, you know, it wasn't like it is today. We got clothes and shoes. We got, you know, nice automobiles and things of that nature, right? Things were definitely a lot different during those times. They walked a lot and they had sandals and with the long draping things and, you know, everybody traveled on the same road, right? You know, walking in manure and sand and dirt and things of that nature. The job of what Brother Branham called it was a foot wash flunky. Wasn't an easy job, right? And I mean let's just face it. On the average, on the ordinary, we apart from having something in us, you just wouldn't want to wash somebody's feet. Is that right? I mean, we you know, we kind of funny people, right? By nature, right? And just the way that, you know, we think if it wasn't for Christ, if just say you was going somewhere and, you know, you went in a place and somebody say, well, before you get in here, you got to wash this person's feet. You just kind of be looking at them real funny. Right? Like, well, man, you know, I don't think that this is something that I would like to do, you know. So maybe I'll just bypass this, right? Because that's just, let's face it, the carnal nature of individual. Now, I'm a real funny type person. I don't like a whole lot of people touching me. Come on, preach with me, somebody. Now, like I say, I'm not Brother Jack. I'm not a, you know, kind of a lecturer. But I'm a realistic person. I don't like a lot of people touching me, and y'all don't either, right? And when it comes down, you know, to, you know, somebody grabbing your feet, you know, and you just kind of have a mind battle about it, right? So I mean, you know, when you really look at it, it really takes something that's beyond humanity, right? It takes something beyond humanity to get us to this spot where when it comes down to doing things in Scripture, not just feet washing, but when it just comes down to loving your neighbor, when it just comes down to, you know, somebody slap you on the cheek, you're supposed to give them the other one, turn the cheek, right? I mean, It really takes something. Now, because, you know, I don't know if we'll pass that test yet. Right? If somebody slapped you on the cheek, could you give them the other one? But that's Scripture. The Bible says if somebody asks you for your coat, you know, if somebody asks you to go a mile, you go, right? That's Scripture. But in the flesh, humanly, we're not going to subject this flesh to do those types of things. Is that right? Now, all of us has been sinners. We've all been sinners. And there's a lot of things that we know when we were sinners we wouldn't do. If somebody slapped you on the cheek, fast as they slap you, the quicker you were going to slap them back. Right? That's just human nature before Christ, right? And, you know, in this little thought, I think the prophet of God was trying to relate, because the Scripture said, going back to Genesis, let us make man in our image, right? And, you know, when you look at that Scripture in the book of Genesis, right, you can't go back and just look at, we're not dealing with something that's just spiritual, right? It's a greater understanding that we have than that. It's dealing with character, right? When in this hour we talk about let us make man in our image, right? It's not some spirit spookies or something like that, right? It's something on a greater scale. He's dealing with because. Right? From the point that he made that in Genesis, right, chapter 2, I think it's in chapter 2, 1. Then in chapter 2, he put him in a fleshly body. Now, you can't say that was the image, right, of God. That when he put him in that fleshly body, that's in the image and likeness of animal, right? Brother Branham said he got a hand like a bear, feet like this, right? So that's not really what we're dealing with. When you start talking about the image of Christ, you're not talking about something that's physical, right? But you're talking about something that's spiritual. We're gonna go somewhere. I'm gonna try to pick it up. I start out slow. I'm gonna try to get y'all out of here at 8:30. I try to do that at home too. So y'all just be with me. But, you know, Brother Branham, he starts out in the little message and he starts talking about being a Christian. Because this is what it's going to take in a nutshell when it comes down to carrying out ordinance, when it comes down to washing feet, right? When it comes down to just the different things, loving your neighbor and loving your enemy and all of those different things. Man, it takes, amen, being a Christian. So he says, what is a Christian? And just look at the thought of people. He says some people limit it to joining a church. Right? That's the image of Christ. That was, what, 1950? I ain't got it on here per se, but it's E15 if she can pull that up. She says, what is a Christian? Some people limit it to join a church. Some said, well, a Christian is a church member. Some who takes up their affiliation with a church. He said, I believe that all Christians should do that, but I don't believe that that's Christianity. Right? But this is the thought of humanity, right? Well, I'm a Christian because, you know, I've joined church, right? I mean, I grew up, I kind of went through the ranks as a young man. I started out Baptist, went Pentecostal and things of that nature. And I remember the days, you know, at the end they opened the doors of the church, right? Come on, how many grew up Baptist? They opened up the doors of the church and you came up, you know, you felt a little conviction in your heart and you came up and you sat in the seats and you know, they gave you the right hand to fellowship. Well, that, you know what, in all actuality, that's incorrect according to the scripture, right? Yeah. Scripturally, when they gave them the right hand of fellowship in the book of Acts, they was giving that to believers, people that had already been in the faith, that had already been filled with the Holy Ghost, right, and was working in the kingdom, right? And when those guys came together, they saw where they had the same understanding of the Word of God, and so therefore they gave them the right hand of fellowship. So, but in the way that, you know, it's done today is incorrect according to Scripture, right? Amen. I mean, just being a part of a church and church affiliations and coming up, that don't make you a Christian. See? Well, I've been baptized. Baptism don't make you a Christian. Because you can go down a dry sinner and come up a wet sinner. Right? So those things don't really make you a Christian. He says, I believe that all Christians should do that, but I don't believe that that's Christianity. See? That's what Christians does after he becomes a Christian, right? You might say, well, Brother Smiley, but these things are important because, you know, spirits don't die. Spirits don't die. And if you don't bring these different things out, people feel like, you know what, because I go to Spirit and Truth, or Bible Truth Tabernacle, or Rapture and Faith, or whatever it might be, because I go there and because I'm affiliated and because I'm doing this, I'm a Christian. That don't make you a Christian. Is that right? Believing God sent a prophet don't make you a Christian. Right? Don't make you a Christian. So these things are important because if not, you'll fall up under tradition. Right? And you see people, they'll bring tradition right into the Word of God. That's why I thank God for a prophet to identify things for us, that when it comes down to all of these different things that we learned in days gone by, we could push those things aside, that we can become Christian. And a Christian is to be Christ-like, right? Amen. Jumping ahead of myself. So he says, that's what a Christian does. Okay, she got it. Okay. He said, then some say, no, it's going to church and serving a declaration of creeds and being loyal to those things in which the church teaches. He says, and then there are others that say that perhaps packing a little something on them, a little cross or something, that is a sign of a Christian. You know, I got me a belt buckle. You know, Brother Branham had a belt buckle, so I'll get me a little belt buckle. But those things, belt buckles don't make you a Christian, right? Nope. They don't make you a Christian. But a lot of people, church, now I've been around probably a lot longer than a lot of folk up in here, and you see different things. People want to hold on to those things. And if you do that, and then when it comes down to the character aspect of it, right, really being a servant of Christ, you'll never be able to do it, right? Because in your understanding is saying, you know what, I'm an affiliate of this, I'm associated with that, I got something that I can hold on to identify, but you never really got what's important. Right? You never got really what's important. Okay, where are we? He says, then others say, and packing a little something on them, a little cross or something that is a sign of a Christian. Well, then there's others who believe that perhaps maybe if they would burn a candle or do some kind of penance, that's a Christian. Well, they never had to do that in Scripture, right? When the church first started the book of Acts, right? That's Catholicism. Penances and things of that nature. But they never had to do that, right? He says, if they will merely be immersed in water, or they will do some sacrifice or give some good to the church or help the neighbor, buy some coal for a widow, some shoes for an orphan. He says, that's the acts that a Christian should do, but still that doesn't make them a Christian. And let me tell you something, church. There are people that don't profess Christianity that can manifest those attributes, right? I'm telling you. There are people that aren't Christian that are giving, that are humble, that are compassionate, that are sweet, but they aren't Christians, right? They aren't Christians. Loyal, give you the shirt off their backs and think, right? But that don't make you a Christian. It ain't Christian, right? Amen. Even Brother Branham, he talks about it. He says, you know, you try to make that an evidence. You can't make that an evidence. You can't even make those things an evidence of a person having Christ. Because there's people that do that and don't have Christ. Just good people, sweet, loving. Right? Amen. And they're not Christians. Now let's bounce over in the same book to the 18th E18. It says now that doesn't mean that we have to grow long beard, because people want to, you know, maybe revert back to the physical characteristics of Jesus. And I got it. Long beard. Right? It's not physical at all. It's not physical at all. Right? When it comes down to the image of Christ, right, and his manner of life, it's not physical at all. Right? You know, he says the artist picture him having. And neither does it mean that we grow long hair as the artist pictures him having, or wearing a robe as he wore. Right? He says, for we're living in another day. Because if Jesus was here, he'd have on a tie and a sweater tonight. Right? Or he'd have on a suit. If Jesus was here, he wouldn't have no long hair down, robes and sandals, you know, trying to make himself humble, you know. Jesus wouldn't he wouldn't have it. Right? I mean, so it's not some when it comes down to being a Christian, right? Because that first and foremost, that's what it's gonna take, right? Because when you really look at what Jesus Christ, because he said, you know, I'm doing something that y'all don't really understand right now, according to the scripture, right, in St. John 13. I'm doing something that y'all don't understand right now. It's what he was trying to get them to see. Because let's look at his position, right? We're talking about the King of Glory, right? We're talking about an individual that was able to break himself down, right? Because, I mean, let's look at it, church. How many kings did you know today in modern day society could break themselves down to wash his servants' feet? Right? I mean, just look at the ministry today. Right? Look at the ministry today and the characteristics of the ministers, right? They can't even break themselves down. Right? Amen. You know, the prophet said, I think it's in the seal book, he said, a real big man, right? He can break himself down. He said, but an old potentate, somebody old smart, intellectual, with a change of clothes, you know, he might try to humble himself. But he'll only get so low, and next thing you know, he start trying to rise back up again, right? But a real big man, and that's why Jesus was telling them in the scripture. He said, you know, y'all gonna do something different, right? Than the Gentiles, right? See, if you think that you're great, then you be a servant, right? See. People got it crossed up. people kind of got it crossed up a little bit in modern day Christendom. And you know, we elevate people, but see, when you look at scripture and you look at Christ's position, the image, the character, right? You see where a man that was in a position of authority. I mean, he was authority. Right? He was wisdom. He was source. He was everything, right? He could humble himself down as an not some false humility, but real humility on display, right? Lord help us. Real humility on display. He could break himself down, right? And wash the disciples' feet, right? Amen. That took real humility, real, you know, something within expressing itself, right? I hope I can get to where I want to go, right? Because, you know, when you watch people, and especially, like I said, modern ones, everybody want to be a bishop. And everybody want to be big. And everybody want to be deep. But nobody wants to be humble. Right? And the big men want to segregate themselves. Right? And want everybody to serve them. But that ain't scripture. Jesus told them in the scripture that we read in St. John. He said, you know what? I didn't come to be ministered to. Right? But I came to minister. I come to minister, right? Amen. And if Christ is in bride form, right? Because sometimes we kind of lift it up and we got a lot of pride and stuff like that. You're missing the point. We're here to be servants. We're here to minister. Is that right? But you know what? Apart from him in you, you can't minister. Right? Apart from Christ in you, you can't humble yourself. Right? Because the flesh, this human part of us, it'll never humble itself. It don't want to be humble. Right? It don't. The flesh. Look, church, we all can say amen to that. You try to humble yourself, the flesh want to raise up. Right? You want to apologize, and the flesh will say, don't apologize. Right? You want to love, amen, and the flesh say, don't you love that person. You know what they did for you. The flesh, right? You know the scriptures say, forgive, unless your heavenly Father. But you know what? The flesh say, don't forgive them. Boy, they hurt you real bad. Right? Come on, somebody. Amen. The flesh, I'm telling you. See, so you can see, you know, we being triune beings, right? It's got to be something in that third realm, right? It's got to be something there. If not, church, when it comes down to his manner of life, you could never display those attributes, right? You could never display those attributes. Where was I? Okay, we still at E on E18. He was just talking about it's not the physical, it's not the wearing the robes that he wore. He says, for we're living in another day. We don't necessarily have to be that to reflect his physical image, but we must in our souls, see, and this is where I'm getting at, reflect his spirit image and, conjunction, his manner of life. But how could you do that? Apart from him being in us, right? Amen. You really can't do it, right? Because skip down to E16. Skip back up. That's why when Brother Mike was telling me did I want to bring the quotes, it's like, man, Brother Jack got a master's degree, man. I'm a high school dropout. And I don't have my stuff in order. I have to, you know, do it on the fly. You know, I got to get my wife to teach me how to set this stuff up. Right now, I have to do it, you know, with the knowledge that I have. So somehow I have to, you know, skip up and go down and skip up. But he says, and then some say that if you pack an image in your car on your wall, that's a sign of a Christian. Well, then them things are all right, but I don't believe in packing an image makes you a Christian. I believe that being an image of Christ make you a Christian. It's not what we do outwardly. It's what happens inwardly that makes us what we are. And see, if you study the scripture out, right, you study the scripture out, Jesus Christ, right, was often trying to show the people, right? And Brother Branham, he taught parallels all the way through the scripture, right? We parallel with Israel. We parallel this, we parallel that. And you can see a coalition when you go back and really look at the life of Jesus Christ, right? We know he was born according to the scriptures, Emmanuel, God with us, right? But then, you know, he grew up, he increased in knowledge, right, according to the scripture. Then he come to Matthew chapter 4, right, where he met John in the water, right? He met John, and John was like, man, I need to be baptized of you, right? He said, but, you know, suffer that to be so, John, it's behooving us to fulfill scripture, right? I'm going somewhere. It's behooving us to
to do this to fulfill scripture, right? And then when he baptized John, right, then the dove come down, right, and dwelt upon him, right? And then he go from the dove descending to a place of trying, right? Because he went from there to the wilderness, right? He was tested. The devil came. He was hungry, right? Man, if you be who you say you are, right? turn these stones to bread and all of that. Y'all just kind of have to write the scriptures down. Matthew 4, right? But what I want you to notice is to show us, to parallel something for us as a church, that it took more than just human ability to accomplish, right? It took something within him to accomplish and do the things that you find him doing, right? Because look at Jesus, if you go back, and like I say, I'm going to give y'all some homework. Y'all got to write it down and go back and check me on it. If you go back to the book of St. John and you'll study, Jesus was always referring to something that was greater, and that was the Father. Let's look at the scripture in St. John chapter 14. See, because Jesus, in his ministry was only declaring the Father, right? His entire ministry wasn't about him projecting himself, him trying to make himself something. His entire ministry was a man expressing something that was greater than what the people were seeing. The people were seeing this outside house, but Jesus was trying to express to the people that there's something greater that's going on that y'all ain't comprehending, right? It's a little scripture in St. John 14, 20, 28. St. John 14, 20. Let's maybe start at the 29. He said, peace out, 27 verse. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He says, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. See, Jesus' entire ministry was trying to express to humanity that, you know what, that there's something that's greater that's taking place that y'all ain't comprehended. I'm not here expressing me, but I'm here expressing the Father. Right? That was his ministry. Brother Branham said, Christ was the mystery of God revealed, right? The whole thing was kind of capped off in Christ, right? I mean, the fullness of the Godhead was embodied in a human being expressing itself. Now, I want to read you a quote. Because, see, when it comes down to his image, it's character, right? It's character. And his manners of life, you cannot produce those things apart from him being in you. Amen. Right? It was, he said, I don't do anything let the Father show me. Right? He was trying to show that I only do what the Father does. Right? What I'm manifesting is the Father, right? I'm the house. Great is the mystery of godliness. God. God was veiled behind human skin. But watch this here. Brother Branham says, but when God was here on the earth, right? He said, I thought you were talking about Jesus. And not a Trinity. That was God created a body. that he could live in to express himself. What a statement. When I read that, when you understand what's actually happening in you, it takes a lot of pressure off of you. Because, you know, we get tore up, you know, when we make mistakes and we do different things. And, you know, the devil try to make us feel like we ain't Christians. And what are you going to church for, man? You look what you just done. Right? look how you just acted. Right? But when you realize it's no more you, but it's Christ that's living in you. And it's him expressing himself. And he don't need your help. Right? Because, you know, I'm trying to be good. You can't be good. You can't be good. You cannot do this. Right? You can't. It takes him in you to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. He just needs you to get out the way, right? We used to sing that song, just get self out the way and let the Holy Ghost do the winning. Right? Be a witness. Well, you can't be a witness, amen, itself, right? It takes you getting self out the way and let the Holy Ghost do the winning. Right, Sister Brown? You remember that song, right? Be a witness. Be a true born again witness wherever you go. Right? He says, God was here on earth in human form. See, that's what Jesus Christ was trying to relate to the church. When you study the Gospels, right, especially in the book of St. John around the fifth chapter, and you just start reading, Jesus was, you know, arguing and just trying to relate something to him. Like, look, man, it's not me. It's not about me. It's about him. Right? He says, but God was here on the earth in human form. He says, Jesus Christ was God made flesh and dwell among us. All the fullness of the Godhead was bodied in him. He was God made manifest. Like we're Christ made manifest, he was God made manifest. Right? The fullness of God was embodied in him. That's why he could do what he did. Right? Okay, he says, no man has seen the Father at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has expressed him. He said, God was expressing himself. Boy, I tell you what, that's a powerful statement, church. It was God behind skin expressing himself. Right? And it's the same thing. If he's veiled in a body, it's him in a body expressing himself. Right? Because we think this is all about all of what we try to work ourselves up to do, and when we fail, we get sick. Man, I thought I was a Christian. You are a Christian. But you just need to understand what you're supposed to be doing as a Christian. That's just dying. Right? Come on. That's just really getting yourself out of the way that he can express himself through you. Right? See, everybody just ought to breathe. Sigh of relief. Right? Because we struggle a lot of time. We make mistakes and we do things, and the devil give you mind battles, right? And see, one of the things we gotta understand also about Jesus Christ, he came in a different type of body than what we came, right? We bypassed our theophany to come here to be tested and tried, right? But our victory lies in the fact that it's him in us. Right? That's where my victory don't lie in me trying to work myself up. Me trying to be good. Me trying to be a Christian. Right? Me trying to be a brother in the church. Come on. Because, you know, when you try and then you get discouraged and then somebody has to, brother, you all right? You know? And then the pastor got to call you and, yeah, brother, I ain't seen you in a couple of services. Praise the Lord. And you, and all it is that you were trying to be a good boy. Like our kids, you know. I'll be a good boy. I'll be a good girl. And but they ain't, you know, until they get a real birth, ain't nothing in them. They're going to, because of, you know, they born in sin, shaped in iniquity, they lies to begin with. They're going to tell a lie. You can beat them. I'm going to be good. You're going to be good as long as you're getting that belt. But when the belt stop and it cool off and, you know, your backside cool off a little bit, man, you look around. See? But, you know, it takes him. Jesus said, you know, when they was on the scene, they came to Jesus and say, good master. Jesus said, why y'all calling me good? There's nobody good but the Father. Right? That's it. But the Father. Right? It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Right? Amen. He said God was in him expressing what he was through his son Jesus. Right? Now, I don't know where all these quotes at, but if you can find them, that's fine. But if you're not, don't worry about them. I'll just read them. He says, like the Bible said, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father has declared him. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. See, it was all the work of him. Right? Amen. It was all the work of God. Look, church, it's all the work of God. That's why when people start getting lifted up and pride and all that, I say, boy, you don't even understand what's going on. Right? It's all the work of God. Amen. You see preachers all lifted up and all that. It's, look, brother, it ain't about you. It's all the work of God. Amen. Right? Yes. Folk want to be all isolated and deep and big and on pedestals and can't hardly shake nobody's hand and, you know, head up so high, you pour water on them, you drown. Right? It's all the work of God. Right? Because let's face it, man, all of the things that we tried to accomplish when we were sinners before the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there's so many things we couldn't accomplish. Right? When I look at my life before the baptism of the Holy Ghost, man, I realized, man, I couldn't accomplish a whole lot, right? But I've accomplished what I've accomplished by being in Christ. And you know, the reason why we ain't further up the road is because, you know, we allowing him to express himself, right? That's the reason why as a body, right, as individuals, as a body, however you want to place it, this is the reason why, you know, we ain't really where we supposed to be. It is because it's still too much of us, right? It's just still, and you can tell as soon as something happened. The old man, he'll try to raise up. That ain't his manner of life, right? Come on. Because his manner of life, when they was crucifying him, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Right? And then when you saw him veiled, amen, in his body after the day of Pentecost, when Stephen was up rebuking the people, right? Y'all know the scripture? When they stoned Stephen. Stephen, watch this, showing you Christ expressed in human flesh. Stephen, Now, he told them, I'm going away and I'm coming back. I'm coming back and I'm going to get in individuals. If I don't go away, I can't come back, right? Look at his manner of life when he was in human flesh, the Father expressing himself in a body, right? He emorphic, he changes his mass. Come down at the day of Pentecost, he get in 120, right? Then he get in 3,000. The church start moving. is Christ expressing himself, right? That image, that manner of life expressing itself. Here it is, one of the brethren preaching the word of God, right? Those individuals were expressing another characteristic, right? Because Jesus said, you are your father the devil, right? I mean, he was looking back to the time when the first murder and everything else, right? And when Stephen was being put to death, right, just to show that, amen, that it was Christ, Father, forgive them, right? Father, forgive them. Come on, church. Father, forgive them. It was Christ expressing himself, not in the same fleshly body, but now, amen, in a many-membered body. Right? Christ expressing himself. Father, forgive them. And when you can't forgive, it ain't Christ. Come on. I'm finna go. I'm gonna be on time. But I feel good, though. Right? When it comes down to his manner of life, that image on display, you gotta have him. Because it's got to be him, Christ, expressing himself. Because we think we got a whole lot to do in this. Right? But in all actuality, when you really look at it from a spiritual point, you just got to get self out the way. Right? Because self will not forgive. Right? Flesh ain't good. See, you know, I listen to people and I love people and it just like, Lord, help us to be patient. Right? And just working with a group of people and things of that nature, it's like people don't really understand what they think they understand about this gospel. Right? Because God will put you in something. Right? Allow you to be tested and tried just to see what you're going to do. Just to see if your understanding is true understanding coming, amen, by the word of God. Right? And a lot of times when you watch people's actions, it's like, you ain't really understanding what's going on here. They're right. You're not. Because as we really grow, you know, and things happen, we look to the scripture and say, you know what, if we're his witnesses, right? If we're here expressing him, then how would he handle this by the word? Right? You say, well, Brother Smiley, my feelings. Feelings ain't got nothing to do with being a Christian. That's another realm. Right? That's another realm. That's, you know, second realm somewhere, right? Well, you know, brothers. Just look at Jesus and all that Jesus had to go through. I mean, God veiled in a body. Look at all of what he had to go through. Right? He had to be beat. He had to go through being talked about. Right? Come on. Ostracized. Lied on. Some of that happened to us. We quit church. We quit church, right? We don't want nothing to deal with him. It's not Jesus. My Jesus will go right back up there and start talking to you again. Fellowship should get you stirred up. Get them stirred up. Walk out of that mess. Leave it with a parable. Lord have mercy. We can't do nothing with that fellow. Right? That's the way it's supposed to be. Look, if it now watch, I'm trying to show us something, church. I'm finna go. I ain't gonna wear you, but I'm just trying to show us something. You know, we say we're in the message and we reading and stuff like that, but it's beyond this, church. What we're studying and what we're reading has got to come to a reality, right? And if Jesus was talked about, and if he was beaten, he was laughed at, and all of these just different things, and just he was still able to go through and Father forgive him and this, that, and the other, then what about us, church, if it's Christ in us, Christ in bride form? Right? What about us? See? You talk about, you know, it takes Christ, it takes dying out, really being humble. Because, you know, when you think about, you know, the scripture we started out with Jesus washing feet. I mean, who wanted the title of foot wash flunky? Huh? I mean, we want to be doctors and lawyers, but then look at David, right? David said, look, man, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Come on. David, a type of Christ. How could he say something like that? It was a revelation to him. Look at his position. Come on. You're talking about a king. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Now, man, we want a big title. See how messed up the church world is? Right? And David, I mean, the king, right? We come right back into a king again, right? A king says, you know what? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. Look at the king. He breaks himself down, pulls off his kingly robe, right? Veils himself and come down, amen. I'm going to give y'all an example. I'm going to do something that y'all may not understand right now, but you're going to understand it after a while. I'm going to get down here and be a foot wash flunky. That's deep. I'm going to be a servant. I'm going to be a servant. A king. Brother Mike, you hear that? A king, Brother Mike. Come on. A king being a servant. Then you would say that's backwards. Right? But the things of God is different than, God thinks on another level than what we think on. Right? We think, which way is up? The way up is down. Right? See how crossed up humanity got this thing? Right? You look at the nominal world, they got it all crossed up. Right? Because they make the ministers big and deep and all of this. And then when you look at the deepest thing that ever walked the face of the earth, God veiled himself in flesh. Look what he was humble. Right? He didn't have a place to lay his head. Folk got $14 million mansions with rooms that they don't even sleep in. Come on. He said, man, you know, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man ain't got no place to lay his head. Right? And then, you know, the ministry today, man, they got palaces. Right? And that ain't great in God's sight. What's great is when a man can break himself down and let him express himself, amen, in humility. Is that right? Because anytime it's God, right, veil expressing himself, it's humility, right? It's something humble. It's something simple. It's something, you know, not flamboyant, right? Because Christ, he reveals himself in simplicity, right? Let the musicians come. Christ reveals himself. So, you know, The real image of Christ is that character veil. And when it comes down to the mannerisms of life, that character, it takes him to express himself. Take pressure off of yourself, right? You yield yourself and let Christ live his life through you, right? Let him express himself through you. Right? Something happened. Well, I tell you. No, don't. Mm-mm. Okay, Lord, have your way. You do this thing. You, right? You live it. You do it. I mean, you will come out better. Right? Amen. But I'll tell you this, if you never get born again, you never get that life. If it's not an inward something, because Jesus was pointing to what was moving and taking place within, right? And if it don't happen within, forget about it. Forget about it. You won't be no genuine Weatherby Magnum. I tell you what, you'd be something just trying to be bolted out to be a genuine Weatherby Magnum. You blow up under the pressure. Right? Y'all heard the story? Well, brother, I'll say this and I'm going. Well, Brother Branham talked about the brother gave him a gun and he wanted a certain type of Weatherby, and they told him that he could send it over here to the Weatherby factory and they'll take it and bow it out and make it a Weatherby and everything. So they took it through the process, and he shot it. Man, he said the barrel went this way, almost blinded him. Said it couldn't stand the pressure, right? And then, you know, his rationale behind it was that it wasn't a Weatherby from the start. If it would have started out from the Weatherby, company, it, when the pressure hit it, it would have been A-okay. And if you start out right, you'll be all right in the end. But anything that don't start out right ain't gonna end up right. All the way, I'm going all the way. Yes, all the way, I'm going all the way. Yeah, all the way, I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way with the Lord. Last stand. Just say, I'm going. No service is complete without taking up an offering. Reading the scripture. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
All the way, going all the way, all the way, going all the way. Yeah, all will stand and be dismissed. Well, I'm going all the way, going all the way. Father, we just come, Lord, to give you thanks and praise. We appreciate you, Lord, tonight. We appreciate, Lord God, your grace and your mercy. And we know that, Lord, the church is built upon revelation. Lord, we pray that the things that were said tonight, that, Lord, you reveal it. Just make it a little simpler, Father God. Lord, we can say things as ministers, but it just takes you to just make things plainer and simpler for us, Father God. Lord, I just thank you tonight, and I praise you, Lord, just for allowing us to be here, just filling in for Brother Jack, Father God. And I just pray that you just continue to bless them and the family, Lord God, and just the services that they'll be in, Father God, and touch their voices. We ask that you touch Brother Burroughs, Lord, understanding that he's a little clogged up, and Lord, he was a little apprehensive about going. But I pray that you just encourage him and touch his body, Father God. Give him strength in his body, Father God, just to go through the different climate changes, Lord God, from cold to hot and hot to cold. Just touch him, Father God. He's not what he used to be. But I pray that you just touch him and grant him grace in his physical body. Watch over him, Father God, and protect him, Lord Jesus. And just bring him home, bring Brother Jack home back to his little flock, Lord God, here, Father God, that he just continue, Lord God, to break the bread of life, Father God. We just ask that, Lord Jesus, that you would give traveling mercies, Father God, and just continue to encourage the saints of God and give strength. And we just be so careful to give your name to praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I'm going all the way.